welcome Robert to the stage.
When I was sitting down, I knew what I wanted to say. I was repeating it over and over again in my head. And then my name was called. I stood up. I turned to face the audience. The clock ticked. Tick. Tick. Mr. President, Madam Toastmaster, fellow Toastmasters, most esteemed guests, I am really delighted to be here today making my inaugural programme speech at Toastmasters. The journey to get here has been remarkably short in some ways. Just a couple of months ago, I was standing alone on a railway station forecourt in East Sussex, waiting for Southern Trains to deliver up its latest set of victims. little did I know that those five people would not only help me to enjoy Shane and Sophie's wedding, but would also lure me to the club that had brought them together in the first place. And so here I stand now, on the first rung of my Toastmasters ladder, waiting to climb to success in confidence in speaking and perhaps being better at listening as well. But if this is the first rung on the ladder, then it's a ladder that stands on foundations. Not foundations that you particularly want to build a house on, there's slightly too much sand in there, but foundations nonetheless. At the very bottom of those foundations is primary school. I went to a village school in East Sussex, and I remember one time walking down a country lane with my dad, pushing our way through the cobwebs, hanging from tree to tree, glistening in the autumnal sunshine, and then going home and writing a poem about it, and then reading that poem in front of 100, maybe 150 people at the school harvest festival that year. For some reason I could stand in front of people then. I had the confidence to do it. I still have that confidence when, several years later, at secondary school, 15 miles south in St. Leonard's-on-Sea, and I was asked to speak to parents of prospective children potentially going to that school and tell them how wonderful the school was. I was obviously quite good at lying then. I don't remember having much cause to speak publicly when I went to college. My sight has always been on a downward trajectory, and part of the aim of being at the Royal National College for the Blind in Hereford, which is where I went, was not only to get the scores that I needed, but also the skills that would enable me as a visually impaired person to get on in a sighted world. Those scores were important though. I knew what university I wanted to go to, I knew what city I wanted to live in, and eventually I got the scores I needed and I was able to read history at the University of York. But it's whilst there that my sight took a little bit more of a dip and my confidence dipped significantly with it. I went from being able to read whole chapters of books to being able to read only a few pages, from having the confidence to hold my own in conversations, in discussion groups, to not being able to speak at all in seminars. I felt that people knew so much more than I did that I couldn't possibly speak and know and get points across, be able to stand behind my points, and I simply couldn't. I couldn't speak anymore. And that carried through into work. I joined the civil service as a fast streamer, and fast streamers are meant to be motivated, they're meant to be confident, they're meant to be self-starters, they're meant to be able to do anything, frankly, they're meant to be run the whole department in a week. And I was reminded of this after one particular teleconference with my line manager, and she asked me, why didn't you say anything during that session? She said, you know, that fast streamers are meant to be all of these things, but you're not. And I didn't know what the answer was, but But I knew that I had to do something about it. So I started trying to talk in team meetings a little bit more, talk in other meetings where I knew that I understood as much of the subject as others, potentially a little bit more at times, and slowly but surely building that confidence up. But my real big break in this came when I was asked by my best friend from university to be his best man at his wedding. Now, being a best man is a scary thing. You've got to look after the rings and make sure that the best man gets there on time. But the most scary thing of all is that you have to do this grand speech that everybody is waiting for. And for me, I had to do this speech without notes because I couldn't see them. So I practiced this speech over and over again, standing in the middle of a field in Richmond, where I live, until I knew it off by heart. And then, on the day itself, I was so nervous. I couldn't eat, I couldn't drink. I mean, goodness knows what the group was feeling like, but I was pretty awful. And I sat there, repeating it over and over again to myself. And then my name was called, I stood up, I turned to face the audience, and I knew that I had the confidence, and I began to speak. Thank you.
Please, for everybody to evaluate the product.